All right. Thanks, Zach, for the devotional. I feel like that goes along very well with what I want to share here this morning. And so I've entitled my message this morning, "Upon This Rock I Will Build My Church." And I will, it goes to explain that further. So a while back, I was started reading in the book of Ezra, and I think it was the first time that I had ever started reading there. And it was just, it really intrigued me. And I just never knew that it was there. Like it was so interesting or something. And so just more recently, I read through the whole book and really started digging into it. And so what I want to do, I want to start out here. I want to give just kind of a outline of the book of Ezra. And hopefully this won't get too boring. So I want to kind of give an outline of Ezra. And then I want to take points from the book of Ezra. So yeah, I made up this outline myself, so hopefully everything will be correct. There may be some direct quotes from the Bible here. But so the book of Ezra starts out with a king, and that's the king Cyrus. And so the house of God, it was destroyed, I think, by Nebuchadnezzar. And King Cyrus, he proclaims that the house of God to be rebuilt. And so golden vessels of silver, goods, beasts, costly wares were aided. And the captives, they returned to Jerusalem and Judah. And so I believe that's in chapter one there. Move on to chapter three. So they built an altar. The altar was rebuilt, and the foundation of the temple at this time was not yet laid. And Israel, they give money, and they start to lay the foundation of the temple. And this is in the second year of their coming to the temple. So the foundation was laid. Then we move on to chapter four, and adversaries of Israel, they come and they want to help build the house. And they were not allowed. And so I guess through that, the people of Israel, they faced opposition. And eventually an accusation was written against Judah and Jerusalem to the king, and the king stopped the work of the temple. Move on to chapter five. And there are two prophets that prophesied, and they began to build the house of God again. And so, again, I guess you could maybe, I'm not sure if it was their enemies or adversaries. They sent a king to, I believe it was king of Babylon, to a king. And I think this letter is more, probably just kind of informing the king of what was happening. And so this king, I believe it was King Darius. And in the letter that was sent to him, it was recommended that search be made and see if actually this temple was commanded to be rebuilt. And it was found that it was. And so King Darius, he made a decree And what should be done? At least one decree. He made two decrees, but one of the decrees was what should be done for the rebuilding of the house. And he was for that. And so the temple was built and they celebrated, with joy, celebrated dedication. So move on to chapter 7. And this is where Ezra comes into the picture. So Ezra doesn't come into the picture at the beginning of the book, but Ezra comes in the picture here. And so, and it says that Ezra, you could say studied. So I'm going to turn to Ezra, this chapter 7, verse 10, and read a verse there. And this verse is probably one of my favorite verses in the book of Ezra here. I'm not sure if it jumped out. I think it jumped, like, when I read it, it just jumped out to me immediately. And that is, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And it says, and to teach it in Israel, statutes and judgments. And so after that, I'll just move on here. I guess that kind of gives a little bit about Ezra. And so King Ataxerxes or something writes a letter to Ezra. And so I just want to read here some of the letter, or the letter that was written to him. And that is Ezra 7, verses 12 through 20. Ataxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace. And at such a time, I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God, which is in thy hand, and to carry the silver and the gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and the gold that thou canst find in the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, and with their offerings, and to offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren, to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do all the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow it out of the king's treasure house. So in this letter, it kind of gives Ezra some instruction. And so we move on to chapter 8. And so Ezra prepares. So Ezra's going to be taking I believe it was like gold and silver to Jerusalem here. And I will be moving on to chapter 8. And so yeah, they have to make this trip. And so chapter 8, verses 21 through 23 here. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for our own substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. So basically, I guess Ezra was concerned about going to Jerusalem because I guess they had quite a bit of valuables, and yeah, I guess he was afraid that they would get robbed along the way or something. All right. So they make it to Jerusalem, and God protected them from ambushes and their enemy or enemies. Okay. And so moving on to chapter 9, the people of Israel, they were commanded to stay separate from the land of the people. And they did not do that. And they married wives of the land, I guess, around them or something. And so when Ezra heard this, he is appalled. And then in chapter 10, Israel does eventually repent. So yeah, there's 10 chapters in the book of Ezra here. And so yeah, that's a kind of an outline of the book here. And so what I want to do is I want to start at the beginning of the book and work our way through the book and try to pull out points and lessons here. Specifically, I guess you could say, on the church. So I want to, yeah, pull out parallels. The church being the temple, being rebuilt, and the people that are building it as us. And I won't be, yeah, focusing on the, completely on that, on the, like, rebuilding the temple. But yeah. Oh, and turn to the New Testament here, into Matthew chapter 16, 18. So yeah, God's church, well, it says, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm sure we are all familiar with this verse. And yeah, I know it's been mentioned here probably several times. But yeah, I will build my church, it says. And they were building the temple. They were going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And one point I want to pull out here is it says, I will build the church. So God is is building his church. And so we are not building his church, but it's God. And I know this verse doesn't say this, but I do believe we can help with that. And even though it is God that builds a church, I believe, yeah, I guess, I feel like we can help with that. So yeah. And we are all part of that church. If you're a believer, we are all a part of that church. And what Zach mentioned this morning in his devotional as well, go ye and teach all nations. I believe that is a way that we can build his church, because his church is not built of physical things. Yeah. I believe there is another way as well. All right. So moving on to into the book of Ezra to chapter 3. That's chapter 3. Verse 7. They gave money also unto the masons, and to the carpenters, and meat, and drink, and oil unto them of Zidon, and to them of Tyre, to bring cedars, trees from Lebanon, and Lebanon to the sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. All right, so I guess a point or a couple points here, or two, I want to pull out of this verse is they gave unto the building of the church. See, I'm not sure if I can think of any verses that talk about giving the church, but I'm sure there, it seems like, yeah, they're there. And whether it's money or our gifts, I feel like we can give our gifts as well. As it says, they gave money unto the masons and to the carpenters. So in a building like this, there are many different talents, I imagine, that go into this. We have masons, it says carpenters, but there's different skills working together to build this temple. And so, yeah, I want to look again into the New Testament to 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 11 through 25. It's 1 Corinthians 12, 11 through 25. But all these worketh, and it's talking about spiritual gifts here. I'd say we're familiar with this passage as well. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the voice shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it not? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. All right. So we have many different gifts here, and we are all, I believe the body here, I believe anyways, is talking about the church, and we can work together, or we're made to be in one body. We're made differently, just as there are different talents that went into the building of the temple. And so yeah, we are what God wants us to be, as it says in verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. So you are what God has created you to be. All right. So that is all I had kind of on the section before Ezra comes into the picture. And so at this time, I think I'm going to read a short story here. And kind of for the children here. And I think I mentioned it in my outline when I was going over the outline of the book in Ezra, how they faced opposition. And I believe that was in let me see if I can find it here. So that was in chapter 4. It mentions so in chapter 4, verse 4, and the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So they faced opposition here. And we as Christians, I think, should face opposition in building God's church. But as you can see, the temple of God here did get built, and the opposition did not stop that. So I just have a story here. I believe it's about a boy that he faced opposition, but he stood strong. All right. So the title is, Please, Sir, I Would Rather Not. An old sailor tells the following story of a boy who suffered much in resisting temptation. When offered a drink, the lad said, Excuse me, I would rather not. They laughed at him, but they never could get him to drink liquor. The captain said to the boy, "You must learn to drink grog if you are to be a sailor." "Sailor, please excuse me, captain, but I would rather not." "Take that rope," commanded the captain to the sailor, "and lay it on him. That will teach him to obey orders." The sailor took the rope and beat the boy most cruelly. "Now, drink that grog," said the captain. "Please, sir, I would rather not." "Then go into the foretop and stay all night." The poor boy looked away. Looked away up to the masthead, trembling at the thought of spending the night there. But he had to obey. In the morning, the captain, in walking the deck, looked up and cried, "Halloo up there!" No answer. "Come down!" Still no answer. One of the sailors was sent up there. And what do you think he found? The poor boy was nearly frozen. He had lashed himself to the mast so that when the ship rolled, he might not fall into the sea. The sailor brought the boy down in his arms, and they worked upon him until he showed signs of life. Then, when he was able to sit up, the captain poured out some liquor and said, "Now, drink that grog." "Please, sir, I would rather not." "Let me tell you why, and do not be angry. In our home, in the cottage, we were so happy, but father took to drink. He had no money to get us bread, and at last we had to sell the little house we had lived in, and everything we had. It broke my poor mother's heart. In sorrow, she pined away, till at last, before she died, she called me to her bedside and said, 'Jamie, you know what drink has made of your father. I want you to promise your dying mother that you will never taste drink. I want you to be free from that curse, from that curse that has ruined your father.' 'Oh, sir,' continued the, 'Oh, sir,' continued the little fellow, 'would you have me break the promise I made to my dying mother? I cannot, and I will not do it.' These words touched the heart of the captain. Tears came into his eyes. He stooped down and, folding the boy in his arms, said, 'No, no, no, my little hero, keep your promise. And if anyone tries again to make you drink, come to me and I will protect you.'" All right. So that's a story of a boy who, I should say, faced opposition and did the right thing. All right, so moving on. It is Ezra chapter 7. And this is where Ezra comes into the picture here. And it's the verse I read earlier. I think it's probably about my favorite part in the book here. And that is, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." All right. So it says seek the law. Like I said, I'm not sure I thought there's a whole lot, but I guess we could maybe say it's like reading the law. And God's word is very important to be in. And I just want to read a New Testament verse about that, and that is a Colossians 3:16. And That's Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Should I take this that we are supposed to have God's word dwelling in us, it says richly. And that is a command as well. Something definitely I could do better at myself, I know. I know I have not, confess that I've not done that as well as I should have. And yeah, so yeah, I think it's, if we can be like Ezra here and seek the law, or let the word of Christ dwell in us, we definitely will not regret that. All right. And then moving on to Ezra chapter 9. That's the point I want to pull out here. And that is chapter 9. But verse 2. And I mentioned it earlier about, I guess children of Israel not being separate from the people, I guess the pagans or maybe the people around them. It says chapter 9, verse 2. For they have taken other daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. So yeah, I want to look at verses. Hopefully, I think it kind of talk about being separate. So the first verse I want to look at, I have down here, is First Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12. And this, we might have to kind of read into it a little more. It might not be super clear, but I think it can apply here. And that is, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced them through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I think we can say that the world is focused on riches. And in verse 11, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. I believe it's talking about in verse 9 and 10, maybe the love of money. But they that will be rich. And yeah, I know this is a tough topic. And but yeah, nevertheless, I know it does say in verse 11 that we are supposed to follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And so, yeah, I might let the other verse for y'all decide. But yeah, we are supposed to do that, what is said in verse 11. And yeah, I believe that is a way that we can be separate. Also, 2 Corinthians 6. That's 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 14 through 18. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So in verse 17, it says, come out from among them. And then it says the world, I think we can make sense that it is people that are not following according to God's word. Also, 1 John 2:15. First John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So yeah, I guess that might be more talking about loving. I guess I'll just let the verse speak there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I'll just leave it at that. And also 1 Peter 2:9 through 11. 1 Peter 2:9 through 11. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. All right, so yeah, we are a chosen generation. I guess this verse kind of talks about the two contrasts, what we were, now are. All right, now go ahead and move on to the last point here in Ezra, and that is when it talks about the repentance part, and that is Ezra chapter 9, 3 through 9. And I know that this this is what Ezra, I guess, is just kind of like pouring his heart out here. Even though I don't believe Ezra did commit any sin, it's still, I think, can be a challenge for us. I mean, we believe how we should maybe view sin. See, I don't know if I'm going to have just a whole lot of comments or any comments on this. But I'll read Ezra chapter 9, 3 through 9. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garments and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down, astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed to blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our infirmities are increased over our head, and our trespasses is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we borne in a great trespass unto this day. For our iniquities have we. Our kings and our priests have delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands. Actually, I might start here. Start at verse 7. Since days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the king of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. All right. I don't think it mentions it here, but I believe a fasting went on. And yeah, Ezra is just torn about the sin here. And how do we view sin? How do you view sin? Like, do we view it as just a terrible thing? I think we should. God hates sin. All right. So in closing here, I want to just kind of review here. And so I believe we should be active in building God's church, or helping out with that. So Zach and Reagan, they're building houses, and building a house it's a process. And yeah. it's a, we should be active in the process. And if we just give up, let's say, Zach, you just give up on building your house and it's like, no, I'm just going to forsake this. You're giving up a great loss doing that. And that is, I believe, how it is building God's church as well. Yeah, God's church is very valuable. Very valuable. And I'm not sure if I have that view quite, view the church as very valuable myself. But it is. And so also I want to look at Matthew 7:21. That is Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I know I've thought about this verse. And he that doeth the will of the Father. And that's an action part. And it's, I guess you could say, I guess I feel like we could say building could fit in that verse there. And just a story. I heard this story as over at my grandma's, and I'm not sure if it's my great-great-grandfather, my great-great-great-grandfather. I'm not sure. But if I'm not mistaken, he grew up as a non-Christian, and he did get saved. And so I guess he was, I'm not sure maybe all the details, but he was like living, I'm sure what state he was living in or what, but he was living in this, we'll just say this other town. And he heard about this other town, I believe my grandma said in the newspaper, and he heard how like bad and wicked it was. And, you know, I think sometimes we can hear about this stuff and be like, oh, it's just, it's bad stuff happening, so what? But she said, my grandpa, I guess he was touched with this. And he's like, these people, they need help. And I don't think he went to that town. It was Pond Bank, the town of Pond Bank or something, or I guess it was a town. And he didn't go there immediately, I don't believe, but eventually, I think he was a school teacher, and he got actually called to teach at a school in Pond Bank there. Yeah, or I'm not sure how that all happened. But yeah, I'd say very well that was God's leading there. Makes sense there. But yeah, if nothing else, though, I think we can learn that maybe not to just pass up the evil around us, but to do something about it. So yeah, I just review some of these lessons here that hopefully maybe we can learn from in building a church, or maybe just like encouraging one another here as a church. So yeah, some of those these points are giving maybe our gifts, maybe money, being in the scripture as well is so important. And it'll helps to build a church. And also I believe maybe it is important, or that we may have to be separate from the world as well. I know that was not really a part in the book of Ezra, that wasn't really a part of the building of the temple. and say, but yeah. And also, just having a humble heart and not having sin in our lives as well, I believe is definitely important, or it's like, maybe I guess maybe a must in building the church. So, Zach, I thought about leading a song in my people, and that verse goes along very well with humbling our, like, repenting. Talks about humbling ourselves, and I'll just go ahead and read that verse. It's in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So yeah, I think, yeah, that verse talks about humbling ourselves. I think that is a, yeah, that was a part of the repentance here. And that should also be a part of our repentance as well. All right, so yeah, we are a body here, and God's church is a body, and yeah, let's encourage one another. There's a verse that talks about exhorting one another daily, and yeah, there's darkness around us that I guess you could say needs to be invaded and maybe brought into, I guess you could say God's church.